This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. In studio today with me is Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang.
Hello.
Jozan.
Indeed.
That's the worst Cantonese accent known to humankind, isn't it?
I wasn't even sure what you were saying.
I'm glad you acknowledged that. Well, it's a beautiful Tuesday morning. The sun is rising above TTDI, where our studios are located. In the meantime, we are taking a look at how global markets ended trading yesterday.
Yep, exactly. A plethora of plagues and illnesses ailing the financial markets. The Dow was down by 2.2%. The S&P was down by 1.7%. The Nasdaq was down by 1.8%, and of course, preceding the American markets closing, the Asian markets were also trading. The Nikkei was the only, the Nikkei and the Shanghai Comp were both contrarian rises. The Hang Seng, the STI, and the FBM KLCI was down between 1% to 3.3%.
So for a quick take on what's moving markets, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist, U.S. Trust Bank of America, Private Wealth Management. Joe, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Well, everyone's got their eye on the Fed. You know, equity markets are already jittery ahead of the FOMC meeting this week. What sort of pronouncements from the FOMC would make financial markets more nervous than they already are?
Well, if the Fed came out and was adamant about tapering sooner rather than later, everyone knows the market's on edge given everything that's going on in China, in particular, natural gas prices soaring in Europe. So I think the Fed's going to be dovish. They're not going to want to add any fuel to the fire, but I think they're going to talk about tapering more for like November and December. Tightening is still out there. That's a story for next year. So tapering, I think, is still on the table, but pushing it out November and December.
Well, although U.S. equities usually trend lower in September, how much of this pullback is due to the volatility on Chinese stock markets, as you mentioned, especially in relation to Evergrande?
I mean, that's contributed, no doubt about it. I mean, Evergrande, I mean, if you look at their total debt, I looked at the numbers, $300 billion. Malaysia's economy is about $380 billion. So the debt held by one company in China is almost equivalent to Malaysia's entire economic output. So it's a big number. There's the aftershock. But here at home, it's also about the earnings season. We saw weaker than expected growth in Q3. So the markets are pricing in weaker than expected earnings. And I think they're wrong because I think earnings are still going to be on the upside through productivity gains. So there's a lot, whether it's capital market news out of China, whether it's the slow down here in the United States and the Fed meeting. There's a lot for the markets to be on edge right now. But it's September. Every September, we have these scares.
Yeah, should Joe stay on China, right? Should investors be concerned that there seems to be heretofore very little comments from the Chinese government in terms of how they're going to contain any fallout from Evergrande?
Well, so far, I mean, I think not much in terms of what they're announcing, but if you look at history, China's very proactive. So we think they're going to get ahead of this. They're going to be, we think the monetary tightening that they had earlier this year will come easing, more fiscal stimulus. If there's a silver lining, I think the Chinese will kind of be more proactive in and around this problem. The problem with this big property company is like, what are the knock-on effects? What are the aftershocks? Who else is involved? And that's going to be a big issue. So I expect the Chinese, as history suggests, to be in front of this in terms of the policy response, to get ahead of it. And that's what the markets are pricing in.
And also in terms of the September swoon that you alluded to, Joe, I think we're now around about 5% down on all three major indexes in America. At what point in time does it become a buying opportunity? As we know, yesterday in the last 4 hours of trading, there was some buying on dips.
Yeah, I mean, we love to buy the dips, right? I mean, it is amazing. We've had some clients waiting all summer for this pullback. And if you look at the S&P's down about 4% so far in September. So, I mean, we could see some more downside pressure given a surprise out of China or natural gas prices in Europe. But I don't know if it's the algorithm, it's the computers, it's humans. Whenever we get like a 5 to 10% pullback, I think the buyers step in because they're still bullish long-term on earnings and economic prospects in the U.S. And they're going to continue to improve. Q3 was a weak spot, no doubt about it. But Q4 in 22, we're looking for more economic momentum to accelerate. And that's driving the earnings back up and buying the dips.
And speaking of dips, Joe, commodity prices from aluminium to iron ore are tumbling across global markets. Is this an opportune time to buy resource companies, or would investors be catching a falling knife?
No, I do think this is your chance. I mean, because when you look at renewables, climate change discussions, how do we go from fossil fuels to non-fossil fuels? It requires a lot of lithium, cobalt, nickel, silver. Name your metal, we need it. So this is a buying opportunity in the metals market, commodities market in general. We're still bullish in that. You got to be patient. So this pullback, we think, is an opportunity to increase your exposure. If you have no exposure, get some now.
What other potential curbs might China impose that will affect commodity imports into China?
Well, I mean, because it's property related, the credit problems, you can see a slowdown in demand from China when it comes to their need for commodities. They would release some oil reserves. But China is still a growth engine. Behind China comes India. We're seeing more urbanization here in the United States. Cities are coming back. Think of the infrastructure, like knock on wood. If we ever get an infrastructure bill out of Congress here in D.C., that's going to add more demand for commodities as well. So take this lull, this pause in commodity prices, with or without China, as a buying opportunity.
We've also got Costco and Nike results out this week. Joe, what's your sense of the health of the retail American consumer?
Yeah, I would say it's very strong. I mean, people have a lot of money, they want to spend it. But when they go out and want to buy a car, there's no cars. When you go to a restaurant, there's no one to serve you food. When you go to Home Depot, lumber prices are through the roof and they don't have what you want. So it's pent-up demand that's going to extend into 22. So I think the retail side, I think, is still a good story heading into 22. And that's kind of how we're thinking now. Wall Street is kind of peering into next year. And they're seeing a lot of pent-up demand that's going to feed into retail sales that are still going to be robust, better than expected. So, you know, I'm sitting here wanting to buy a lot of things, but, like, the shelves are empty.
Yeah, so in terms of sector preferences, you've talked about resources, industrials, and, of course, retailers. What kind of names can you throw into the mix in terms of those sectors and, in fact, wider ones?
Well, I can't mention names for compliance reasons, but we have a barbell strategy. So we like healthcare and technology. And we have. It's long-term. So any pullback, technology, healthcare. But we still like materials, industrials, financials, energy, certain spots. So on these pullbacks, be opportunistic. If you don't have exposure, get some now. So we still think the economy is in good shape, solid shape. September is always a rough patch in October. But on the other side, November and December, we see more of a melt-up than a melt-down.
Joe, thanks as always for your comments. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, giving us a look and outlook for U.S. markets and, you know, advising people to buy on the dip, essentially.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, isn't it? And as he was saying, investors have been waiting for this for months, right? And I think at these points in time, American stocks are around about April, May kind of like levels, which is, you know, you might think that was a long time ago, but it's not. I mean, when you look at a year-to-date basis, American indexes are between 11 and 17%, and that's even in account for yesterday's decline. So it's a good time to buy if you have the ammunition to do so, or the will and the courage.
Yeah, you could be catching a falling knife, but of course, if you are thinking long-term as an investor, I guess this is a good time to pick up some stocks, especially on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange.
Yeah, he's talking about financials, resources, consumer banks as well, financials, yeah.
That's right, and commodities. And speaking of commodities, we look over to Australia. Australia's top three iron ore miners have shed a combined $109 billion in share value in less than 2 months. This is roughly the equivalent to the market cap of GE. And this is because of a record-breaking price rout that has been attributed to tensions between China and Australia.
Yes, so it is quite a dramatic reversal of fortunes for Rio Tinto, BHP and Fortescue Metals, which only last month they were showering investors with record dividends for shareholders. And so, but the shares have plunged rather deeply, I think. We're talking about iron ore prices, as China has stepped up on curbs on steel production. Well, the reason that they give is to meet environmental goals. And this is really part of their whole common prosperity sweep, right? To, you know, to sort of clean up society, regulate behavior, get people to be, you know, more, I don't know, more compliant as a citizen and a more, you know, focus on society goals rather than capitalistic goals.
You know, at superficial level, it does seem as if this is a good thing that China is doing what it's doing, right? It's basically got this policeman's hat on and it's just cleaning up. And because they can, because they're the biggest dog in the room, bar the US, It does seem like a good thing for the earth in the long term. I just wonder whether there is a wider strategy, because once assets like BHP Billiton and Fortescue are down between 30% and 50%, it's easier to buy control your supply chain, as it were, right? Do you know what I mean, right? As opposed to being a price taker, you then become a price giver by owning these assets. I just wonder whether that could be a China play down the line.
I mean, I guess it's there are multiple hypotheses or theories going around.
Because they're so opaque, you're trying to double guess them.
Yeah. So, one reason given is why Beijing is now doubling down on efforts to cut pollution, because it's going to be hosting the Winter Olympics next February, and obviously they don't want this environmental debacle hanging on their heads, right?
That's true. I guess they want to put a good image forward. We know that they have image issues in the international community at the moment, so this is one way to, I suppose, clean up their act in a way. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.